man, look, man, we didn't have so much rain around here, man, I don't even want to see no water. Without further ado, I got the phone lines open up for the panel. I see Double R in the car, Mark the Disciples in the car. Also, our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Good morning. And good morning to our faithful contributors and our listening audience. We are pleased, exceptionally pleased now, because we had a little challenge before us, and we didn't know if we're going to make it today, but they tightened up their loose ends and got us in on time, so we want to thank and commend them for correcting whatever the error was, because, you know, when we start getting blocked or stuff start going wrong, we get suspicious, because we think that we stirring it up too much, and folks don't want to hear us, don't want to allow us to be heard. So, and we're glad that we got that straightened out. So, welcome, you guys. I'm glad for another opportunity to share and show that we care about the direction of our people in this country.
I say.
Yes, sir. Mark the Disciple.
Grand Rising Kings and Queens, another blessed day we are allowed to see. Let's do our best and be representatives of the Most High.
Larry
Jones. Come on in, Larry Jones. Where you at?
I was in the house
Mike
yesterday.
Jones.
I was in the house yesterday, but the gentleman was talking and he sounded good, so I was just listening. So
yes, sir.
I'll be here until about 10 o'clock, and then I got to run through the vet, hit the dog.
Okay. Right. Oh, you got your dog over there now, huh?
Drummer Perkacepis for AJ, but he'll be with me tomorrow night.
Okay, sounds
the
good.
German Shepherd?
Hey, so,
hey, no dogs allowed. Hey, Larry, you talking about AJ or the German Shepherd? No dogs allowed in the inner circle, man.
Well, I'm not.
And they got their own fellowship.
Well, I'm the only one.
They mean a whole lot
growl.
Of us won't be there.
I'll be the one with the biggest growl.
Okay. Hey, so without further ado, I got Double R in the car. Double R.
Top of the top, family. Black family, what's going on? Double R in the car with a seatbelt on, man. I got my pencil and paper ready to take notes. Let's get it in. Yesterday was great. I hope Sarge be on here today because I got some questions for him. I yield back.
For him. For him.
Hey, so listen. This is what I'm talking about. When you have people that come on and maybe they are on the other side of the fence from which you are, right? The thing is how courteous could you be without cutting them off, and how gentle can you be in listening to anything they may be saying, right? Whether you agree or not agree, everyone has an opinion, and it's all about putting the opinions out and letting the people decipher through that stuff, right, and see what they can, what bits and pieces, because all of the story may not be for me, but a bit or a piece of it might be. And so you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and I couldn't listen in yesterday. I was over there doing a fentanyl awareness program with the Lamont Myers Foundation. And, man, it is a beautiful foundation that this lady has started. Wasn't hardly any of us that showed up, right? But they had some of them others that lost their loved ones to drugs, and they didn't even eat. They just came and signed the check and left it at the front desk and looked around and took off. And there was a lot of them that did that. They didn't want nothing to eat. They said donate their portion to somebody else. And that's what I'm talking about. Other ethnicities can do that, but us, we can give you 2 pennies and we want everything you got on the shelf. Because we donated 2 pennies. And so we, the people, have to change our mindset. That's why we do healing circles. When people say we're healed, they lie. We not healed. And I ain't seen a build from those that say they healed. I haven't seen too much. I've seen a show or two. But I ain't seen nobody go after these young folks like we do. I ain't seen that. And if you have, take me to it so I can, for once, see it. because we can talk about the next man, but if we ain't doing what we need to do for ourselves and our community and our families, then we just doing a whole bunch of talking. And you know what? Talk is cheap. I'm going to pass it back to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell.
Yeah. That talk is cheap. That's a double-edged sword because that's what we do. But when we talk, what we talk about is coming from the sincere want to move the needle. And we're open to receive information that will help us to put something in motion that will move that needle. The talk is cheap part is like, I know some people that you give them the floor, and man, can they talk. But when you get through with their presentation, you it's difficult to pinpoint exactly what the message was. Because they go on and on and on and on. And with no filter, no monitorization, no self-awareness or consciousness about, you know, maybe I need to cut this back, or maybe I need to stay on task, or maybe I need to stay on point with one thing and then move to another instead of trying to give everything at one time and going on and on and on. So that talk is cheap. You know, matter of fact, that talk is free, but it's just painful. You know, somebody can give you something, and like they give you a gift, right? They give you a gift that they like, not what you like. So you got it, but now you don't know what to do with it. So that's the type of cheap talk we're talking about. So I have something to propose to the floor, and it's I don't know how touchy it is for the listener, but for me, it's kind of touchy because I have this tendency to be kind of like curt and direct about certain stuff that I see and feel, and a lot of times it's not well received by the person that I might be addressing, right? So I'm just trying to find out, how do you share something or bring something to somebody's attention you like, care about, or respect, and you already know or feel strongly that they're not going to receive it very well? So how do you, what is the method, the suggested method to do that? Because, see, a lot of times when we don't do that, I ain't going to say we, I can't talk for everybody, but when I don't do that, that lingers and I carry it around, and it always pop up when we might be interacting or something, and then it'll pop up like, man, you need to say something about that, man. But I'm going to hold off. And I keep on carrying it around, and it's lingering, and now it's festering. Now it's getting to be moving toward resentment about something that I think they should know, but I don't know how to get it to them. I don't know if that's a clear understanding of what I'm saying. Maybe somebody can help me out and, you know, dub in what's your interpretation of what I think the challenge is. So give me some help. Yeah, the brother can't get no help on that.
Man, it got quiet on that one right there, brother. I wasn't going to say nothing, but because I wanted to make sure that we didn't over-talk each other, but shh, ain't nobody said one word. Help the brother out. Mark, the disciple.
Just let me know if you understood what I'm putting to the floor.
Repeat it, not the whole thing, but just the main subject.
The main subject is, how do you, if somebody that you like, respect, care about, and you wanna build on a relationship, but you got something you wanna tell them about, either something they did or some behaviors they're demonstrating, or something, I got a story to tell you in a minute, but give me your interpretation, and I'll tell you the story. Or something that would probably not be well received by them, but if you don't share it, it weighs on you. So how do you find a way? What is the method that we might, you might suggest to be able to get that over to them without risking the relationship?
Well, I've come to understand that when talking to a man, or supposedly man, because if he's a man, he'll receive it well. But if he's not mature in the mind, he's not going to receive it well. But either way, you have to tell them. And if they run, fine. If they say, great. But they have to be told. We as men have a problem with receiving corrective criticism. We think that we know it all. And that's why the Bible tells you be slow to speak. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. Because you will find yourself sometimes repeating what you've said once before or repeating a lie. So think about what you're saying, because everybody don't need to hear everything at that moment. You know, let some things manifest themselves. And don't toot your own horn. See, that's one of the most problems we have. People want to toot their, let somebody else lift you up. Well, I did this, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I got this. We only could see what we see. Sure, you got all this, but we don't see it. So allow some things to manifest themselves before you put it out there as this is what I have. This is what I'm trying to do, which you should say. But like I say, it's just that men have a problem receiving certain things from another man. And we should not have that problem. And if we take our time and think about our actions and when we're in front of other people, we really won't have that problem, because we are helpers one to another. I digress.
You know what? What happened just now for me was in a want to be honest with somebody that you respect and care about. It might be a good idea to preface what you're going to say with, hey man, I don't know, if it's a young lady, even if it's a young lady, but we're going to stick with the men, because you're right, Mark. It's kind of more difficult man to man to share certain things, because, you know, the reactions sometimes are not that favorable, then you have to deal with that. But might be fair to preface it with, hey man, I don't know how you gonna take this. I know I probably would have to, you know, if somebody brought it to me, depending on who it was, I probably would be a little salty when I heard it. But you know, I just want to let you know I don't mean no harm when I bring this to you. And maybe it might be a good idea to preface it with something like that in the presentation, rather than just going, hey man, dude, yeah, I got to tell you, man, that, you know, maybe that might be a way. If y'all want to hear the story of a situation, I'll tell you. But if you want me to wait and let me get some more feedback on the matter, because it don't look like this matter going to get much traction. So maybe, you know, if I don't hear something in the next few seconds, then I'll just tell you the story about my situation, and then if you want to pour in after that, cool. If not, we can move on. So anybody got anything that they might want to share about that circumstance?
Yeah, this Double Lord. I was trying to save my minutes for Sarge, but let me key in real quick. Let me see. What we talking about is, I think one of y'all, I can't remember who it was, either Tim or Marvell, you guys hit, and I think this is a key thing we need to do all the time, is that we're trying to do the right thing, but we do it the wrong way. And I think Mark just hit it. It says we have to be quick to listen and slow to speak, and that's all it takes sometimes. And as we end everything, end the conversation in agape love, you know, kindness and all this stuff. So I think it will go well, and communication is the key. And we got to understand that. I think I disagree. You said it's harder for us to talk to a man than a woman. I think the opposite. You know what I'm saying? Because I think I use that key platform, like you said, toward my wife. And I use it. I was doing the right thing, but I was saying it the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? So I had to tone it down. I can't say it like I'm saying it to a man. I had to say it to a woman. So this double law, I'm waiting for Sarge. I yield back.
Well, you... Dang, double law, you loaded up for Sarge. Now, I could dig it, though. Yeah, so, excuse me. Yeah. I'm hearing and feeling the same thing, is that it's a delicate situation. However, it's important to find a way to address it, right? But I'm going to tell you the risk factor. Now, this is my story. I was 16, and my partner, he'd been my partner since I was like 12 years old. And he's always he's 18. He's been 2 years older than me. So when I was 12, he was a teenager. And we were partners, you know, for years. And then he met this 15-year-old, and he's 18. And she was 15 going on 50. She was extremely colorful, extremely vibrant, and very wily, very cagey, very alluring. She was a whole bunch of things, and he got caught up, and he was smitten by this young lady. And I mean, to the point to where, he's spending all this time with this young lady. And the reason why, one of the things that they decided to do was to bridge their relationship with me and her friend, a very quiet but, you know, very attractive but quiet young lady, trying to hook me up with her so that, you know, we could do stuff together more or less, right? And so one day, and I heard some things in the background in the neighborhood about the 15-year-old that my buddy was smitten about. I heard some stuff, but, you know, I don't really like, you know, hearing, playing gossip and all that stuff. Plus, it's some stuff I didn't want to hear in the first place, so I didn't delve, right? So one day I'm over there on the porch waiting for my buddy, my little girlfriend, to come over, because she usually come over to her house first, and then we'll, you know, whatever, interact or whatever. And so I'm waiting for her, and the young lady comes out on the porch, and she greets me. They used to call me Butch. Hey, Butch, what's up? And I say, hey, you know, how you doing? Lane coming over? She said, no, she said she ain't coming. So I said, okay, I was getting ready to leave, and she said, Butch. I said, yeah. She said, how come you ain't never asked me for none of this coochie? And I said, what you say? She said, I said, how come you ain't never asked me for none of this coochie? And I said, Danny, my partner, and your dude, you going to talk to me like that? I said, you got a lot of nerve. I'm going to tell him. You know what she said? You can tell him. He ain't going to believe you. So I told him, and he didn't believe me. And we got into a skirmish. I had to hit him upside the head with a beer bottle to protect myself, because he got violent. And that was the end of the relationship. He married her and went through all the chaos. He was smitten, right? What I'm saying is that there are circumstances where the risk factor is far greater, because you can see someone is blindsided by someone or something to the point to where it's like trying to convince a Trump supporter or something, right? And the closer you get to information, the more resentment they show toward you. It's like, oh, get out of my face. Now, you're telling me stuff I don't want to hear, you know, so rather than hear what you have to say, I'd rather distance myself from you. So that's what happened with that situation. So anyway, I don't know. You guys, we can move on. I just wanted to get some. Go ahead.
Well, that's a different type of situation. When you're dealing with another man that's in love with a woman, he's not going to hear nothing you have to say, because love will blind you. Love will deafen you. Your only thing is on his mind was that woman, but she's was more mature than him in that area, or should I say more horse in that area. And a woman that's not in love with you, she's going to keep going till she finds what she's in love with. And see, a woman, when she wants who she wants, she's going to go after it by any means necessary. And she don't care who she hurts in the process because she didn't love him. See, love don't hurt. That's the whole thing there. Love don't hurt. And him being a young boy, he was just lustfulness, you know, but he was in love as for what he knew what love was. So it's hard for you to tell any man about that. And for versus a man talking to a woman, that's a different story because you have to lay your manhood down and speak to that woman with your emotions in order for her to hear you. You have to console her, caress her. You have to talk with your hands and stuff, you know. She got to feel that love. And so when you go to tell her something that's going against what she thinks, it's a tough, sticky situation. Like I say, you have to break her down and tell her. Because if you don't, well, you might get scratched up. All right, I digress.
Okay, I'm gonna end this segment with one question. And I hope everybody could give me a fair response to this question. Do you think I should have told my partner what she said?
Yes.
Double R, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just being a
because,
queen.
Look, it's a double-edged sword. I'd rather for him at the end of the day. I know you guys had your little beef, but I'd rather than getting it off my chest to tell you because I would want him to tell me. I yield back.
And not only that, further on up the road, he did recognize that you was a true friend. He know the truth now, but he would have did a lot better if he'd have listened to you then. He wished he had listened to you because he's seen those signs later on.
What you think? Tim, what you think?
Okay, so we got a couple of other brothers and sisters that have called in. I'm going to let them go on and introduce themselves. First, I see Rev called in, and then I see an 8331 called in. Peace and blessings. You're on the Wise Words of One Gun. So who's this from the 831?
Good morning, everybody. This is Miss Chocolate. This is Mama Chocolate. I just, you know, I'm calling you from another number, but I chimed in late, so I kind of cringed at the end, but so I need the brothers to fill me in on the conversation of this morning. Good morning. Good morning, King.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Okay, so briefly,
go ahead.
It was a situation. It's really, maybe we can get it from a female perspective. What if you got a girlfriend you like and care about? But it's something you want to tell her either about her behavior or about her something she did or didn't do that you feel strongly that if you told her, it might put a wedge in the relationship. How do you handle that? Because moreover, if you don't tell her that, then it weighs on you because you every time you see her, you're saying, damn, I really wanted to tell you, but I just don't know how. So how do you deal with that?
Okay. Well. First and most importantly, communication in a relationship is key, gentlemen, and both sides need to hear each other. And I would rather my mate, my partner, or whoever I'm with, if there is an issue, tell me. I need to know so we can correct it. Because if you don't and it continues, how are you going to further your relationship? It's either going to make you madder and then you separate yourself and then she continues to do the whatever she's doing that you don't approve of or you feel like she needs some improvement of. My thing is communication. Communication is key. I would rather you tell me than you go off and tell your friend and then your friend or somebody else and then they come back and tell me, period.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. That so you're saying that if you were you that had the notion to talk to a friend, that you feel comfortable sharing that with the friend, even though you may be convinced that when you do that, she might not receive it well.
Well, how are you? Well, how How is a person supposed to receive the truth? You get what I'm saying? So if you're talking in truth, then she should be able to receive it with respect, not go all over, you know, all overboard, and then have a conversation on how we can fix this, period.
Right. See, the only thing about that, when you say the truth, there are categories. There might be the truth, but there's also your truth. And so you might be speaking your truth in order to relieve yourself of the pressure of carrying it around, but it might not be as truthfully received as it is with you. So you can tell somebody, hey, the truth about, hey, the truth is, if you keep wearing them tight shoes, you know, I know they're cute, but if you keep wearing them tight shoes, girlfriend, you're going to get some bunions. Now, that's a general truth, you know. And she can test it and then never, oh, come back to girl, you was right, right? But if you just say, hey, keep wearing them green shoes with them blue britches and that yellow top, you know, you ain't going to get no action. That might be just your truth. That might be how you interpret how she catches or how she gets attention. And then the next thing you know, dude's all up on her, your truth doesn't have any weight. So I'm just saying that it's really, to me, I hear the communication part, and that's essential. It's just that some things, it's like, you know, I know I hold off and say, I want to say something, but I'm going to wait till the right time. And the right time don't seem to come. And then while I'm waiting, it's building up in me, and it becomes something else other than what it was originally because it's festering now. So, you know, I just wanted some feedback on that. And what we arrived at kind of like is, you know, to preface it with, hey, you know what? If it was some of you, I would like for you to bring it to me. I got something I want to bring to you, and I wish that you feel comfortable enough to do the same for me. I've been noticing that such and such and such and such, and that don't sit well with me. Or I notice that you're doing this, and I want you to think about what would happen if you did it around such and such and such and such, like you did the other day thing, right? And it gets, right. It gets, you know, easier, I think, when you preface it, right, and frame it
right.
Properly before you introduce it. So that was the conclusion that we kind of came to about that made sense, right? Because we don't want to not say what we feeling, but we don't want to hurt their feelings when we do it, right?
Right. Okay, so you can do one of two things. I used to tell my partner, I also tell my adult kids, the ones that are in relationships, if you can't have a conversation at that moment, because sometimes women receive it differently, they don't want to hear it as well as men, vice versa, right? So write it down. Write it on a piece of paper. Write it down. Give it, put it somewhere where she can read it, and then she'll be able to, at her time, receive it. And as long as you have written it down, you have voiced it without voicing verbally what your grievance is, or what the problem is. So if you can't say it right now, write it down and give it to her.
No, I think, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Let's fill Mama Chocolate in with the key scenario. I mean, the key example you gave. It was about basically, and I think this is more than some shoes. This is about your best friend, boyfriend or whatever, hit on them, telling them they're your best friend. And I think it came to a fight. So what we saying is that this is a whole nother level. This is about, you know what I'm saying, it went sour. So would you feel comfortable on sharing that with your friend?
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I'm going to back it up.
Yeah, here it
I'm
is for you. Here it is for you.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
You're okay, so your girl's dude hit on you.
Right, okay.
Would you tell her?
First of all, I would check him. Check him first. Check him at the door.
Okay,
because
secondly.
Okay, and then and then, okay, if it just happened once and that person received it and didn't do it again, then I wouldn't go any further. But if it's every time you come over or she come over and you feeling uncomfortable, you know what I mean, then after she leaves, then you have a conversation with your girl and say, hey, I'm really not feeling her right now. You know what I mean? I would rather when she comes over, I don't want to be around. And frankly, you know, the code of ethics is, you know, when your man is here or when your girlfriend is here, you know, your man going to men's part and the women going to the women's part. But you know, nowadays, I'm gonna keep it uncut with y'all. Nowadays, my young folks, I'm gonna say under 40, are doing threesome. Like, shit, that's your best friend. I'm with it. So, but then there's a guy, there's a line sometimes that you can't cross. Okay, bitch, if we, excuse my French, y'all, if we doing it that way, she, you know what I'm saying, it's all of us three together all at the same time, all the time. It ain't going to be no, oh, I'm at work and then my best friend come over and she in the bed with my man. No. But that's how they get down these days. I'm just keeping it real with you guys.
Dadgummit, that's kind of new information.
Yeah. It ain't new.
And I trust it is valid.
It ain't been talked about. It ain't new. It's out there. Believe me.
Wow. But see, now remember, Chocolate, I asked you, what would you do if your girl's man hit on you?
I would check him first.
And then what would you do toward her?
I wouldn't say anything unless it happened again, because sometimes, you know, flirtations, you know, depending on the situation, okay, that it is what it is. Okay, thank you for the compliment or whatever, but I'm not that way. You know what I'm saying? I would never do that. I don't go against the grain like that. And like I said, if it happened once, she doesn't need to know, because if you tell her beforehand, she might, I don't know how your wife, your woman is. Is she understanding, or is she those ones that now that you told her, I got to be, now she's going to be tripping on me every time I leave out the house or every time she come over, that type. You get what I'm saying? So it just depends on the woman and how, and you know, what her attitude is towards that. But for me, if it only happened once, I'm checking him at the door. But if it happens again, then we're going to have another conversation. And then I'm going to do it in front of both of them. I'm going to put both of them when they both there. That part. So can't nobody say, oh, no, I didn't say that. Or, no, I didn't do that. That part. You pull their cord. That's when you got to see the cord. You pull their cord, both of them. That part.
Yeah, I think I'll pull a trick on that first one, man. That first, where that smoke, that's fire. I think I wouldn't let that second, because I want them to take me. You know what I'm saying? So I'll deal back.
Because you're speaking truth about her girlfriend. I mean, you see what I'm saying? About her homegirl, about what she's doing behind her back. So if you're feeling more comfortable, hey, I'm bringing both of y'all together because I'm telling you this. You know what I mean? So you done put her on blast. And then your woman is more accepting that you said it in front of both of them, so it doesn't feel like somebody is like you're hiding something. But that's only if it continues on, if it's a pattern. But if it's not, if it's just a one-time thing, one and done, leave it alone. don't fester up nothing that ain't really there, because you know women think like that. We think with our hearts first. You feel me? We think there first. You guys, most men think with their bottom parts first, but we think with our hearts first. And a lot of times, if you hurt our heart, it could get ugly. It could get ugly. And all we want is communication and honesty. Even if you did dip off, right? At least I would have to have a conversation. Say, hey, I am really not, I don't want to be in a monogamous relationship, you know what I mean? You know, but I'm not saying that I'm cheating now, but, you know, I'm just opening up the door to, you know, something like that. But if you don't give her the choice, you know, most of the time our men tell our women, oh, baby, it's you, it's nothing but you, But then, in fact, it's more than just her. And I'm going to keep it another buck with you guys. When I was married, my ex-husband did a lot of things in the streets, right? Everybody knew about me, but I didn't know about them. So what I would do, you know, to get what I needed, right? He never brought me home nothing, but I would. I never looked at his phone. I didn't do none of that. But when they did call, this is what I did. I said, okay, well, who are you? I'm the wife, but who are you in this equation right here? What benefit are you benefiting him? Are you the girl that's, you know, because he sold dope? Are you the girl that's picking up the dope? Are you the girl that's doing this? You know what I'm saying? What position do you play in his court? Because this right here, I'm the wife. I know where I am. I'm not going nowhere. I don't have to prove myself to anybody. So, and by the fact, my kids need some diapers, so put that on the list. Go pick that up and drop that off at the house. That part. So that's how we go with it.
Yeah.
When you have an open relate, you know, when you're open communication and you're not and you're uncut and once you do that, it shouldn't be a problem. Shouldn't be a problem at all. Honesty and giving a woman a choice to choose whether or not I want to be in a relationship like that. Now, you told her you were by yourself, it was just you and her, you didn't give her an option. But if you told her, okay, well, it's somebody else as well, then you gave her a choice to stay in the relationship.
Okay, so, you know, you're putting out a very clear distinction between how women react and respond to these scenarios as opposed to how men do, because here, what you didn't hear was this. I had a partner of 4 years. I met him when I was 12, and he was 14, and we were thick as thieves until I was 16. He was 18, but he met a 15-year-old that was very clever, very wily, very, you know, like she was almost sinister in her ability to manipulate him, and he was stuck on her. He was stuck on her, and I make a long story short, one day I went over there to visit because her girlfriend was my girlfriend, but she hadn't arrived, and I'm talking to her, and when I get ready to leave, she called me back, and she said, how come you ain't asked me for none of this coochie? And I said, what? And she repeated it, and I said, I don't believe you said that. Telling my buddy, and she told me, you could tell him, he ain't gonna believe you. And when I told him, he got irate, got physical, and I had to subdue him with a beer bottle. And we stayed separated since then. He never really got over it. He thought I was being envious and jealous of not spending time that he used to be. We used to be together, spending it with her, and that's that's the interpretation of me sharing that with him. That's what he interpreted it, right? So whereas the first time a dude may address a woman of a friend and flirt with a woman or proposition a woman, you might give him a break. I didn't think that it was time proper for me to let him not know who he was dealing with, but it didn't work out. So that's why, you know, it's like the distinctions are quite clear because women get hit on all the time. Men, we don't get hit on like women do, right?
Right.
And so y'all probably receive it a little differently. Like, dude, yeah, okay, well, I'm looking fly today, so if I was probably would holler at me too, kind of thing, right? Because y'all have the air of attraction to us. But when a woman volunteers herself to you like that, that is so intense that it's difficult for you not to take it seriously.
Okay.
But she volunteered herself.
Right. But, if I'm clear, you said that this happened when you guys were teenagers. She was 15 and he was 18?
That's correct. But I said, I need to mention, she was 15 going on 42.
Okay, so I'm gonna bring it. Okay, so first of all, he should even went there anyway because she was 15. Period. Secondly, there was a problem that she had a problem. It didn't have nothing to do with your buddy. It was her and her whatever is going on in her 15-year-old life that she would even invite that conversation to you, because I'm quite sure that it has happened more than once. That wasn't the first time.
No, it wasn't. Because everybody
so
in the neighborhood
was an issue with her
supposed to have been there, right? Everybody mm-hmm. in the neighborhood supposed to have been there, and I had
right.
heard rumors, but I didn't want to hear that because it's my buddy's girl, and I ain't going to listen to no slander or no innuendo about something that I haven't seen myself, right? So I was kind of blocking it out. And then when she approached me with it, it's like a sanction that she was promiscuous like that. And I thought it was important for him to know. And that, and the relationship ended as a result of that divulgence, right? So that's the,
right.
that's the intense part. But I ain't even want to get that deep about it. I'm just
right.
saying
right.
about
right.
talking to somebody that you care about something
right.
that you don't think they're going to receive well, but
right.
you really think they deserve to know it. So how do you bridge that? And I think we arrived at a method that is to frame it properly
right.
with sensitivity and then
right.
convey it to them, and then hopefully they'll respond in the manner in which you present it.
Right. But and once again, gentlemen, there was some key things. That the fact that she was already in around the neighborhood, so she was coming from. That's probably how she operates as far as relating to men. That they have to have something from her. That she has to be giving. And so because you was one of the unique ones that didn't do that, so for her, it felt like, you know, that she was doing something that's wrong. You get what I'm saying? And put you in the loop and your honesty, because you valued your partner's relationship, it was tarnished because first of all, he probably was liking her, you know what I mean? And then the fact that I don't know what y'all history is with women, but the feelings that he had, but I still, at that point, you did just in telling him, but I think he just took it a little bit overboard, and once again, if the you were coming from your truth, you told him the truth, and he just took it in a different situation, and so if are you guys friends today, or y'all haven't mended that?
No, he's deceased, and he went to his grave
okay.
holding a grudge, right?
Wow.
He went to his grave holding
a
grudge.
So we have a
yeah.
TV that's in the background that is messing with the broadcast. If someone that has that TV on can go to another room, because I can hear that TV more than I can hear the individuals talking, and we want to be able to be clarified with clarity on here. But watch this. Marville.
Yeah.
I'm listening to you, man, and I had this same thing happen to me two or three times where one of my partner's girls tried to get at me because my pockets was fatter than his, so she thought it was cool to tell me behind his back that she liked me and that she wished she could be with me and whatnot. And I told my partner, and, man, me and him ain't friends to this day, man. He look at me on the streets. And go the other way, right? Because I was being honest with him. He told me, no, you just like her. You just trying to take my woman. No, I'm like, man, listen, she came at me. And then I had it a different way where I was with a young lady and her best friend wanted to get with me, right? And I've told her, and she was like, oh, she wouldn't do me like that. She wouldn't do me like that. I said, okay, well, all right, okay. She won't do you like that, okay. And so about 10 years later, she is in a different relationship, and the same thing came up. And she found me and said, you know what? I should have believed you when you said that. This trifling boo-boo-da-bop-da-boo then tried to give her my man, and she is at my house, and he just whoop-a-woo. And I said, I tried to tell you back then, you know, but ain't no love lost, you know. But that does happen, you know, when one is close to a person, right, and they get to see your every move. They get to see and admire the greatness that God gave you, right? And so, and if you stand like a man, it always attracts. If you stand as a man and you speak as a man, I ain't talking about no jigaboo or no Bojack. I'm talking about a real man. If you speak in the words of a real man, that turns women on. And for men, it turns men on when women have a good thought process, and they're able to hold themselves down and speak eloquently and walk that walk. It turns a brother on, right? And so I just want y'all to know, man, that if you are going through something with your mate, don't let that 1 second, you know, we start thinking with the little head, not the big head. Don't let that ruin what you have put time and investment in and for a quick second, because what happens is you throw a whole cake away for a crumb. Hey, I see a hand up. I'm going to go to the hand. Is that you, Sarge?
Yeah, I just want to say that I just picked my nose and ate my own booger.
Damn. I hope you're lying.
Say it ain't so. It was disgusting.
What the hell is that? What do you mean by that, Sarge?
What I mean is I picked my nose and I ate my own booger.
Literally?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that's too much information, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sarge. After yesterday, we was expecting something a little bit more academic than that.
Let's have a
but
good
hey,
your
hey, so
have
I,
you ever?
So, have you ever done that before?
Oh no!
I've
when
done
I was
it
a little
once
kid.
Before, and I was that.
Well, I didn't know no better.
Well, you tell me
well,
the time
you
picked your
nose. I used to do it when
I was a kid. Nah, you did
that
before.
I used to do it when I was a kid.
You know what?
Hey,
play
when
you
I was a kid.
Kid, I didn't know no better.
Yeah,
come on now.
When
you know better, you do better, man. With great come responsibility. Come on now. When you know better, you do better.
That was an accident.
Come on
yes,
now.
Yes,
keep
hey,
it one.
Hey, we appreciate your candor. We appreciate your candor, Sarge, but.
Did you
care
too much information? Did you take
it out? TMI this morning. TMI. Too much information this morning. TMI.
Lord, have mercy.
From now on, your name is known as Booger.
Hot man.
You old Booger.
Booger man.
Hot man.
Booger man.
Come here, Booger.
Sergeant Booger. No,
Sergeant Booger.
Don't just call him Booger.
It's too late
to call him Booger. Call him Sugar Booger.
No, we ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do that. It's so, Jeff, I want you to conversation that you've been listening to. How much of this conversation have you been listening to?
I've been listening to quite a bit, but I'm just laying it out there. You know, honesty is difficult, and I picked my nose and I ate the booger. It was disgusting.
But that's TMI.
You don't leave it alone, Sarge.
Come on, you just turned in your player card. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here it is, fellas, ladies, everyone that's on here, we're going to do a roll call right quick. We're going to do a roll call. It's 40. We only get 50 people on this line at a time, right? We have 41 people on here, so I need to know who all on here. I'm DJ One Gone from Wise Words and One Gone Show. I see Sarge is on here from the 11111. He didn't call from a hidden number, but Sarge, say hello to the world, and then we're going to keep moving.
Yeah.
What I want to say to the world is I picked my nose and I ate my own booger.
All right. Thank you. Marvell.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, man. Say who you is so I can keep moving, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is Marvell 216. I mean 916.
All right. All right.
Nine,
double R in the car.
It's double R in the car. Sorry, Jeff, you finished picking the boogers, man. I got some questions for you, man.
Yeah.
Mark the Disciple.
Mark the Disciple is here praying for Sarge.
Ashe. Larry Jones, related to Mike Jones.
That's it. Don't let the Joneses get you down. This is Larry from the 916.
Ashe. I got a caller from the 831. I got two callers from the 831.
Go ahead, Mama Chocolate. No, that's my cousin. What's up, cuz?
Hey, sweetie, how you doing?
I'm blessed.
Yeah.
Okay, Mama Chocolate, we got to fall in order though. You ain't said who you is and da 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 da.
Miss Chocolate, aka Miss Belton, I'm gonna just say from California. I'm not gonna put a where you know each area because I mess with all areas, so I'm just saying California.
Ashe. Let me see if Mama Clarice is on here. Mama Clarice.
Hey. Yes, I'm on. Good morning. Some information is on a need-to-know basis. And I didn't need to know that information about the boogers.
That's
real
tough. Rev.
Good morning. God bless everyone. Rev is in the house.
I say.
Right.
So a lot of people didn't hung up. See, that's why I do the roll call.
Yeah.
I see Brother Johnson,
right.
You at the 831-500 number?
Yes, that's me. Yeah.
Okay, Brother Johnson.
It's a pleasure to chime in and hear this dialogue. It's amusing. It really is. But, brother,
yes, sir.
Man, some things you keep to yourself.
Yes, sir.
That's something I kept to myself.
And the last one is my uncle, Joe.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing? Glad to be part. I'm sorry I'm late, but glad to be part. And one going, can you find that song by the Winans called It's Time?
Okay, I sure will. Hey, so I just want to do a roll call, man, so we can get law and order on this phone line. I know a lot of things are funny. Well, we got a lot to talk about that ain't funny, right? And so
That's
when
right.
we get to kiki and hee-hee and ha-ha, and, I had to bring order to the room because it ain't about laughing right now. You can do that on another time. Right now, we serious about the situations that are going on. Let's Talk Tuesday is what it is. We're talking real talk, right? And so I would like for you all to know that I love you, first of all. I hope you love yourself. And we got business to work out. So with that being said, Joe, I had something already in play. It was from Marvell, but I will find that from the Winans and after this song right here.
More tears do we cry, and we have finally dried our eyes, and we're moving.
I just love my people, and I hope my people love me. It is Let's Talk Tuesday, and I'm going to drop this commercial, and we're going to get right back to the conversation.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents You Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
You Healing Together.
2251 Lauren Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
That's right, the Youth Healing Circle. I've seen a few of our youth at a skate night on Valentine's, and one of them was Howie. And Howie said, "Mr. Tim, can you come pick me up? Because I missed the Healing Circle." And so I challenge all of you all that are out there, man, to bring a young youth to the Healing Circle, man. Bring a youth to the Healing Circle, man. Bring a youth to the Healing Circle so we can talk to them and hear from them, mainly hear from them. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and, man, if you are not talking, mute yourself. Mute yourself on your phone, and when you want to come back in, unmute yourself. That way we can have a clear conversation going on. Without further ado, here's your host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yeah, Lord have mercy. We're moving on up. Hey, despite our challenges, despite our shortcomings, despite the mistakes we make and have made, and despite our bad habits, we are still winners up in here. And that's been demonstrated, and it's irrefutable. No matter what we go through, we still shine. No matter what we make
shortly that comes make us look like we're coming up short, we're still winners. We win when we compete and when we perform. So that's the basis upon which we started this project, is to uplift and to encourage our people to recognize their majesty and be humble about it, but be thorough about it and let it be clearly known that you know. That's all we have to do, is just get away from the apprehension of the knowledge of self and what we're capable of, and let that shine, and that will be enough for us to work together to move the needle to make again the greatest country once that's done. So that's my rendition of the impression, Curtis Mayfield and impression, we're a winner. And I hope you guys agree. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to put it to the floor. When I say we're a winner, does anybody disagree? And I'll yield.
I see.
That's right. I didn't think so. Nobody disagrees. So let's not just be individual winners. Let's be a winning team. And set aside challenges and shortcomings that keep the division going. You know, we just had one of our most astute brothers come on, and it seemed like he undermined all of the things that we recognize him for, but we ain't going to let you get away with that because we know you're a scholar. We know you're a scholar. You have shown that clearly. So the scholarliness is what we anticipate henceforth, so that we can use what you have and glean from what you know so that we can move forward as a people, sir.
I see.
As soon as I put we're a winner on that guy hung up.
Okay.
He hung up. Yeah. He, so I've done this before, right? I've been on this podcast 11 years, thanks to Jay King and Joe Levy, right? They invited me to a show, and I end up opening this show, right? And so there's people that come on sometimes just to check the temperature. And they would say stuff like, I picked my booger and ate it, right, to check the temperature, right, to see if there's any combatant, any rebuttal, anything but, hey, how you doing? Let's talk this talk. That's why I had to resurface everything and bring it back to where we at, because there's a lot, just like the white couple that got on, the man said, hey, my wife stinks down there.
Yeah,
yeah. And so he go get his wife, and his wife come on the air, and she goes, what? It was that, you know, it's people sit and listen to these shows, and they, if we're talking real business and helping our people out, you're going to catch a lot of short-minded people on here that want to disturb the information that goes out. Because, see, we're here to save one another because we are our own medicine. And if we don't realize that we are our own medicine that will heal us to build what we need to build in our neighborhoods to become a community, then we just keep chasing our tail like the dog. See, I'm about community, but I'm living in a neighborhood. Community is economics in there, right? We have something to barter with. We have something to trade. We have something to bring people into our neighborhood. We have finances. We have property. We have land in the community. In the neighborhood, we renting. We drug dealing. We doing everything that says we're not a community. We don't have a bank. We don't have a black grocery store. We don't have this. We don't have that. And that's okay. I'm not complaining about it. But what I am saying is that we got to start building. And if y'all wait another 20 years, there ain't going to be shit to build from. So let's just get back to the topic of why we come on this radio show. We come on this radio show to enlighten one another that we are like-minded people that are going in a direction to help one another. And we've done that. Whether we can help the world, we help each other. And so in helping each other, we learn that the help that I got from my brother, I can pay forward to somebody else. And if they pay forward to somebody else, then we got something going. Other than that, all that kiki and ha-ha and all that, that's cute. That's cute. I'm going to turn on Richard Pryor. That's my favorite funny man, him and Bernie Mac, if I want to kiki and ha-ha. But right now, I'm about this business, my father's business, and saving our people from themselves. I pass the mic.
I want to say something, Brother Tim. We also have the haters that listen in just to see what we're doing when we're doing good. I have to throw that out because just a perfect example when I was had a topic we were talking about, and then all of a sudden we had a whole bunch of disturbances, and it was like the message wasn't trying to be heard, but the message still got heard. But we also have the haters that listen in. That's probably why you got all those calls dropped, because the haters was on too, and you called them out, but then they hung up. That part.
Yeah, well,
that's how I do it too. So if you ever see me say hold up, roll call, it's to find out who is on the line, what they have to say, so we can get a conversation going. Not to delete anybody, not to push anybody away. It's just to let them know we see you on here. Go ahead and say what you need to say, and then let's continue with the conversation. And as soon as I did that, like Mama Chocolate said, I could barely see the board. I had to keep strolling to get to the bottom of the board. But as soon as I said, let's start calling these names, let's start putting people and faces on the number, they start hanging up, because it is, like Mama Chocolate said, not just this show, it's all shows. I had Sir Mike on my show, and he done got kicked off every show. He told me on Sunday he wanted to talk on my gospel show this Sunday. And I told him, hey, Sir Mike, call tomorrow because we don't do conversation when I'm in the spirit, right? When I'm in the spirit and I'm listening to gospel music and I'm playing different sermons, I don't want to talk about anything. I want to let God minister to me through this music and these inserts that I put on. So he still didn't catch it. He said, "Well, brother, you know, we blah blah." I said, "Hey, look, we gotta cut it short. But I love you for being who you are, and I'll talk to you tomorrow." He never did call back. So that right there just shows the level of intelligence that we have. And if we want to use it for the good, we can. But a lot of time, negative outweighs the good. And I just don't want to be here harping on a lot of bull crap. I want to talk about what we need to talk about. We only got 2 hours. Now, that's a long time. But when you get to talking, we got 50 minutes left now. Out of 2 hours, we got 50 minutes left. So with that being said, I'm going to pass that back to the host with the most. See, I respect the host with the most. I get off the mic and I pass it back to him, and I get out the way. My thing is the man, the board. But when the board gets shaky, I got to speak. Marvell?
Right on. So it's really a testimony to the thoroughness and how we stir up the spiritual and emotional aspects of our humanity when people go out of their way, intelligent people go out of their way to throw a kink. The only thing that they can do, even with their intellect and with their knowledge, is to kick dirt on something just because they don't agree with it. And that's counter to what we heard yesterday, where it was like, I really appreciate being disagreed with without being disagreeable, without being disrespected. The man even said he's been kicked off and yelled at and cursed out on other programs, but he didn't get it here. And I don't know what would urge him to do a presentation like that other than the thoroughness upon which we operate. So it's a testimony to this program, the quality and the sincerity that we deliver on a regular basis, and that everybody is being as candid as they need be and being as courageous as they need be and being as willing to share something to help move the needle as we are. So that's a testimony. I received that, my brother. I received that testimony that you're saying that we are thorough and that you only way you can shake us up is with trying to make sense out of nonsense. I yield.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this Double O here, if I can chime in a little bit. It's a little heartbreaking that the man had to hang up, but I'm still going to keep it going. And my thing is that yesterday we was talking about policing, and, he was an officer. We had a nice guest on here just to see it from his, it's like we had a parade. We see the same float. But he on the other side, and I'm on the other side. You know what I'm saying? So he can tell me what he sees, and I can tell him what I see. But my thing is that, too, as a police officer, I just ask that. I mean, he's from Chicago, too. I think he retired in 2004. But I was just trying to see what was your legacy when you left. As the last time I checked, it's called Chirac. You know what I mean? It got worse, since he left. So I just want to make police accountable, man. And, too, they had the blue line as far as the whistleblowers there inside the police force. And like we said, there's gangs there too. So, and I just wanted to ask him, did he ever recognize any wrongdoing, anything like that? But, I'll yield on that, man. I wish I could ask the brother more questions and everything, but this Double R, I'll mute my mic. I yield.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in on the situation that fell upon us today. When Tim said that there were a lot of callers online, most of them probably was his constituents, which put him up to do that because of what he did yesterday, how he told a lot of things that he probably shouldn't have told, being in the position that he was in or whoever he's connected to. So they were online to supervise him doing what he did so that he can disgrace himself so that he won't be taken as seriously as he
Thanks
was
for having
yesterday.
Me on the show today. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I know this is an issue that's really been important to me and to many people for a very long time now, so I appreciate it very much.
Who's speaking? Who's speaking?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, who are you? Yeah, who's speaking?
Yeah, my name is Hunter.
Okay, Hunter. All right, we just wanted to get clarity about who's speaking because you just started talking without an introduction. So we know that you're Hunter. And so what you have to share again, please?
Oh, no, please, by all means, go ahead. I'm happy to listen.
No, you had the floor. I just wanted you to identify yourself. And you were expounding on something that you decided that you want to share. Oh, could you just share what you shared, and then we can move on from there.
Okay, Marvell, here it is.
Yes.
It is the wise words of one gone show, and I told y'all it'll be days like this where we get people in just wanting to listen, right? Just wanting to listen. So continue on. We don't want to call anybody out. We don't want to. That takes away from the message, right? And the message is that we, the people, deserve better than what we're getting, right? And so I'm going to talk about the government all the time, anytime. I'm going to talk about the government and how this country is being ran, right? It's a piece of shit. I'm from here, and I'm loyal to the soil. But if you go to looking at certain things that are happening around us and that we allow to happen to keep us down in the ground, then you too will feel like I feel, because this is not the greatest country in the world. This couldn't be. This, I don't even understand why anyone would want to risk their life trying to get through the border to get over here to get misused, right? What I do know is that they have preferences. So on Stockton Boulevard right now, there are at least 80 Ukraine families, not just individuals, 80 families that have been placed in these housings that they just built. They just built them. Half of it ain't even done. They done put them in already. They're bringing these people in. They're setting them up. They're giving them visas. They're giving them everything that you and I don't have. Let's talk about the real, man. I told you about that Kiki and Ha Ha, and that's a smoke screen, man. Let's get back to what we talk about, man. We talk about this real, man. How we the people suffer for the government to implement and to do the things that they're doing across the water and abroad. What about here? So now they got you thinking about Trump, so they can move some other agenda, right? They got this bozo on every station talking about letting Russia take over everything damn near. Man, if you listen at Trump said he gonna sanction a lot of things, and he gonna move the needle for Russia, and he's gonna take a lot of, he's gonna dismantle the NATO nation. You know, all these nations come together to move in one direction. He said he gonna dismantle that. You put him in office, and you know what? I'm kind of like Starge. I wish they put that pink mother. Oh, watch your mouth, Timmy. Your own radio. But I wish they would put him in so the rest of the world can see that we, the black man, need to come together. Anytime they can put that pink face up in there and they move the needle and they gonna do what they wanna do, you best believe it's gonna bring civil war in them streets. You think they did the January 6th march on the Capitol? No, it's gonna be in the streets. It's gonna be in the streets, and you and I ain't even prepared for that, cause we thinking of us getting a new car, buying a new house. Man, come on, man. I'm gonna pass that mic, man. I ain't got hot again.
Okay, brother team.
I just found. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead,
I just want to say, I'm not into the politics. I don't even look at the news because of all the BS that's going on. But for my opinion, for him to still be able to be in that position, you know, either Trump is the distraction for others, or he's making these moves because he can. And with all the stuff that he has done, y'all still want him in office? There's a reason behind that. He's either a distraction to take away from us, you know what I mean, and what we need to do, or they're going to put him back in there. And if they do, you can't complain about nothing, nothing, nothing.
Everybody seems to be upset about the big man. One go a few months ago, we began to talk in terms of purchasing. That seemed to go in one ear and out the other. A couple of people spoke up at the time that they were interested in purchasing. I've been sort of scouting. And there's a lot of dilapidated housing right here in Sacramento that can be acquired very minimal price, but a lot of work put into it. I don't know why a group from this podcast cannot enter into such a area and deal with it. You want to do something about housing? You want to do something about status? Let's purchase some land. And I yield.
I see. I am in total agreement with you on that one, Joe. That's what it's all about. That's what's needed for us to rebuild a community. People don't realize what we can do from that point. That's the perfect breaking ground for unity, for black cohesion. And as far as this government, y'all talk about Trump, Biden ain't no better. No matter who they put in office, it's still going to be the same thing. The hammer going to come down on us. We're not in the equation of progress as far as this government is concerned. They're gonna put who they want in office anyway. They're going to allow them to do what they want, because all they're going to do is sign the papers. The papers is already printed up what's going to be done. They've been planning that out before. So it don't matter who gets in office. They let you think that you have a say-so in it, but you really don't. Your vote don't mean nothing, because it'll go to the collegiate votes. So, you know, we have to think about us and do what's right for us and what's best for us. We have to come together and work together. Regardless of who's in office or whatever, we still got to come together and stand as one. I digress.
So, wait, Marvell. Sarge yesterday is a prime example. And let me be clear. Sarge yesterday is a prime example of individuals who I wouldn't say want to play. I also respect where he came, what he's come from, and the work he's had to put in. But we can't be concerned with Sarge, because that's him. This guy, one gone, just got through saying, we got a lot of issues right here in local California, Sacramento. They can be approached and can be solved. We talk about it here on this podcast. That's it. Various others talk about it among themselves, but that's it. I'm just asking, and I'll ask it again. Are there any individuals in this podcast or otherwise where we can start buying some of this dilapidated housing? We've got construction individuals. We got carpenters in our ranks, and build these houses back up and get people off the street. Do something. Let someone see. Instead of us talking, let's go do it. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well,
come on, Marvin.
Yeah, see on the heels of that proposal, there's still clearly a bridging that's going to be necessary through our using this vessel as a marketing tool. And us doing, Joe, I've been remiss because we talked about it, and we have a format to draw up. You just spurred me to get more hands on drawing up a proposal to that community of folk who have the ability to use what's been provided for them to acquire land, and that's a worthwhile pursuit that we're going to follow up on. I still think that when it comes to Mark's overview about how government works, I don't see any disparity in that overview. It's just that now we have to choose between less of evils, right? Or we don't. We might risk allowing the more devastating of the two to land in a position to demonstrate just how much they don't care about us, right? We're living in a system that has omitted us, and it's like a paradox. They omit us in general things, but they depend upon us for specific things, right? So allow someone who just doesn't care about us at all. Because remember, dude said that people should be fired from the NFL for hiring anybody who stands up against the system, right? The orange dude, he said he thinks that they should be fired. That means that here, even the ones who are generating all kinds of recreation and escapism for the society and providing a vehicle to make billions of dollars, he doesn't care about that as much as he cares about controlling and muffling and muzzling a group of people from expressing themselves. So that we got a lesser two evils kind of thing going on here when it comes to voting or not voting, and that's on each individual to make that decision. I'm not advocating for one or the other, but I am looking at it realistically and saying that if we make a decision, let's make a decision that has a little bit more leverage than not deciding. Right? That's for that. Now, I have a report, and it's disheartening to me. I have a report coming from a reliable source that the reparation is going to be limited to equity programs, cash awards, but equity programs, right? And so the states are going to be allotted money to distribute to programs that's supposed to be beneficial to descendants of slaves rather than a cash benefit. Now, I remember the other day we were talking, and I said that I've heard two popular celebrities. One was Dr. Phil. The other one, it didn't come to mind, but it's somebody popular. And I think it was a black person. But, I think it was Candace Owens. But Dr. Phil said that you shouldn't give people money that don't know how to handle money because it's going to create havoc. That's his sound reasoning. He said, you know, you can't give – what if you gave everybody $300,000 a piece, right? What if you gave them that? That would create havoc, he said. So it's not smart to give people who ain't used to having money a lot of money. That was his reasoning. Now that reasoning has been seemingly brought to the table as
as sound, and now they're not talking about a cash award. They're talking about equities in areas of health care, small businesses, nonprofits, housing, education. They're supposed to be spending money, allotting money to the cities to distribute to organizations and companies and programs that will enhance those things for our people. So that was not a very pleasing report, and I just had that meeting last night. So now we're being whittled down to the distribution thing for the reparations. So when we talk about this government and how they operate, it's still that looming big brother. I know best. Well, for you, what's best for you? Kind of ideology that's being operated. Well, I know that we owe you this, but we ain't gonna give you what we owe you because you ain't gonna do nothing but mess it up. So we're gonna monitor what we give you that we owe you, and make sure that you do the right thing with what we owe you. That's what the message is now. It's a sorrowful report, but I just got that information last night.
Well, see, as I've said before, we can't wait on the enemy to give us anything. We have to do for ourselves. We've been waiting a long, long, long time, and I don't know why anybody feel in their heart that it's going to be any different. They don't like us. So you can't force nobody to like you. So why keep begging somebody to give you something that don't want to give you nothing? You're going to end up getting poisoned. So we get out here and do for ourselves. We have the wherewithal to do it. That we do have. We just refuse to do it. We'd rather wait on them to give us something. Stand in line like guinea pigs, thinking you're going to get something, but you're going to be slaughtered. Man, we got to do this. We got, just like Joe said, we got to put our pennies together and do what we can for ourselves. We can't expect nobody else to help us. But if we start, help will come from all over. You'll be surprised. But let's try it at least. At least we know we went down with a fight. I digress.
Well, me, politically wise, you guys talking about the voting and the lesser evil, I think that we've been bamboozled with that thought. I don't think we need to go into that, blacks, in doubt, whatever, vote Democrat, whatever they talk about. No, we need to restrain from voting. We need to show them how powerful our vote is. Our vote ain't for free no more. Why should we keep giving them our vote and putting them in office when none of these promises never been fulfilled? That's been 160 years. So we like a dog chasing our tail. Don't vote for nobody. Let them see that, damn, well, next election, we got to get these blacks on our side. So then they'll start giving that. That's my interpretation of it, and what I believe in that. We got to stop voting for either one of them. No evil, because if the blood is still on your hands, the lesser evil is still on your hands. I yield back.
Well, even at that rate, we still need to do for ourselves. We got to start somewhere. Why not start now? I digress.
Well, that's not even new, but a focal point for discussion from this point on is what does that look like in real life, right? And let's start doing what was already being done to a degree, but let's intensify the degree and start drawing up proposals and mapping out blueprints so that when we talk about it, it could be fortified with a visual. It's like, okay, we talked about this. This is what this looked like. Talked about this. This is what this looked like, right? And that's it's becoming more and more, I think, important for that to be done, making hard copy and making literal and visible demonstrations of what the plan is. Right? So, now that
brother,
go ahead.
Brother Joe had his hand up for a minute. I think he hung up and then came back. But I want to get him on and let him say a few things before you go further, Marvell, because I hate for him to have his hand up and not be recognized. Brother Joe.
I'm saying the same thing that I've said a few months ago. I'm not rich. I don't think anybody on this podcast, no matter how many of us are on here, are rich. But we do have nickels, dimes, and pennies. Am I afraid to be in business or to go into a collaborative with you? No. As Double R just said, that is the lie that has been told for 160 years. Is there, again, when do we stop talking? And Brother Marvell, you're correct. Let's map out a plan. But and we've been talking about a plan for the last months, and no action. And I would suggest that all this dilapidated housing and land, for nickels and dimes, let's go get it. Instead of looking at it, driving by it, and talking about it, let's just go get it. That we can do. Thank you.
That's a can do.
Hello? All right, I have something else. So being said that, now, in our community, we have black realtors. I'm going to give one in particular, Ms. Keisha Matthews. And if we put together a plan to talk to a realtor, and how about a piece of land, and we can build on. Or one house. And there's other programs a few years back, I don't know how many years back, the organization Habitat for Humanity was in Del Paso Heights, and they had built this house. And if I'm not mistaken, the house is now had been turned into an Airbnb. And it was, you know, and so I was like, okay, you have these organizations doing these things, but what are the people doing with the homes? And so if we found a realtor, like I said, to help us with that, let's put it together. One house, or one piece of land. I've been looking at, so in the Heights, there's a sign right there on Norwood and Grand. I don't know if it's still there, but it says something about a church. Ain't no church been built on there. That land, that land has been there for years. Ain't nothing been built. I don't know a whole bunch of different areas, but I just know that if we can come together like that, I think we can make a difference. And my last thing is, if somebody could take account of each state that has African Americans in each state, if no blacks voted, then that would be something monumental. You know, that would shift the gears to these politicians. If no blacks voted, but realistically, that's not going to happen. It's already designed. And really, our votes don't count. Even if we did vote, it still wouldn't count. But just the fact that we voted, but who's worthy of our vote in this right now in office? Who's running? Who's worthy of that? And so we're caught in the midst of making a decision versus I did something, you know. And my vote matters. So I digress, gentlemen.
No, I'm not saying that we can get everybody to not vote. You got to understand, when they do, I watched the election last one. We turned a lot of, the black women in the key cities and communities, well, not communities, hoods, like you say, made those Republican states Democrat. This is proven. It was just a little thing that they saw. that the black vote, woman vote, did matter because of course, the VP, the black woman, she talked a lot, blew a lot of smoke for them to vote. I'm just saying, by next election, after this one, if we digress, a little of us, they would see that, and they would say, well, we got to give them something. I'm not saying total everybody because I know that's not going to happen. We just need a little bit of sight to let them see that our vote do matter, and it's not for free. I yield back.
Yeah, it sounds catch-22-ish, especially for this election. Yet, what we're building now in a foundation, foundationally, what we're building or what we are stirring up to be considered is our power collectively that will lend into, hopefully, will lend into the consciousness about how we sway and influence politics. So coming together and on a local level and feeling our strength, I think is gonna trickle into that consciousness. Is that it's just like okay, I'll mention the BBOA, the Black Business Owners Association, was designed to be autonomous, not apply for grants, not apply for loans and all that, but to be autonomous, work with the community to build a momentum in the community, doing community style work and enhancing the businesses in the community, to be able to have the community support. Once you have the community support, then you have an influence on the community's decision. And then we have a consciousness about how powerful our vote is. Like, for instance, the Rock the Flow or Flo Juan Cofer is running for mayor, right? And if the community, or let's say the neighborhood, want the wannabe community, the people in the neighborhood, if their consciousness gets raised to a high degree, it's a good likelihood that she can be put in office, right? And so the same principle here is that once we start working together and demonstrating our collectivism, then that collectivism will probably translate into our influence about who we can put in these posts. So it always seems to go back to the one question. Two questions. There's a two part. How and when are we going to recognize and start pooling our resources together? And that seems to be the eternal question for us to grapple with as a people. Is when is that going to happen?
Well, like I said before, we got to start on our own. We can't wait for somebody to get in the office. Dr. Flo has raised over $95,000. Where that money's going to go or what she's going to do with it, we don't know, because you're taking a chance on her just like old Paleface or whoever else. But we got to start amongst ourselves doing something and let those that feel ample enough to want to help us, let them step up and help us. But we got to start helping ourselves first. See, God even said he's looking for a people out of a people, willing to do the work that he has set before us. So we got to make his land great again. See, we got to do this in God we trust. So if you believe in God, then you got all the help you need. We just got to come together and do it, because he wants unity. He wants to see us come together. These people are trying to divide us. Vote for me, vote for me. That's division. We're not about division. We're about coming together. We don't want to be separated no more. We want to come together. That way we can be strong. We got a lot of brilliant minds out here, a lot of brilliant minds on this air. If we put our heads together, man, we can do some things. And it will grow. Believe me, it will grow. So let's start. and pull whatever pennies that we want to and get something going. We waste a lot of money each day buying fast foods, buying just a bunch of bullshit. Let's take that money and put it to good use and purchase us some land and start working that land. And then as that grow, we purchase some more and work that. People will come on. People will jump on board. You got a lot of people that are scared to start out with something, but once they see the ball get to moving, oh, they're ready for it. Because there's a lot of like-minded people out there. And we can't go, we can't depend on the naysayers to jump on board. Let them be naysayers because they don't have a vision that we have or that I and Joe have. If you have a vision of unity, let's do this. I digress.
Marvell?
Yes.
Clarice?
Hey, Clarice.
Hi, may I speak?
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay. Ditto to what everyone said. You all have said so many useful, powerful things. You've got a storyboard there. My suggestion is let's do it in a goal. Let's set a date, start date. You've got to get your – my suggestion would be is you've got to have a storage for these – money that's coming in. That's the number one thing. That's got to be in place. So when people start pulling their money together, they want to know that their money is going to be safe. That is a reasonable thing. So, one, that needs to be in place. Two, when are you going to start? You got all these ideas, and they're good. They're powerful. When do you actually start the process? No matter how small it is, when do you start the process?
Wow. Well, myself and Joe are going to start ASAP.
No, ASAP is not a date. As soon as possible could be 5 years from now, if that you allow it to be. No, to set a goal, you need a specific date.
Sister Clarice, since I have been making the comments, I will take a look at the calendar, and by tomorrow we'll have a proposed TBA, a to-be-announced date for what you speak of. I agree with you that a starting point is at this time period is necessary. So tomorrow, everybody on the line, I will come, obviously come back, God willing, with a proposed idea of a date so that we can finally get started and stop talking about it. We can put our words to some sort of action. Thank you.
Thank you. And one other thing I wanted to add is that we need to get these things documented. I believe Tim, you mentioned or saw the flyer or something about taking the show to the next level. There's a group of people on there, but it doesn't. I asked for about what does being a donor, donating to it, then a sponsor, what all is involved. And I believe I was given a person to go talk to, and I made the call, and they said, "Well, they'll get a list together, or they'll make a list." And I haven't heard from them. Then I put another call in yesterday. And said I'm following up, so I wanted to get that information. So when people start to donate, no matter however small, but you have to get the ball rolling. So we just need to get these things documented. So when you talk about it, not just pass out flyers, but you have a source to go to, and you can say this is what we're going to do, and it looks more authentic. If I'm looking for a sponsor, if I have a platform or there's people I want to bring in, they want to see something. So I would just, you know, like to encourage, get these things documented and let's get it rolling.
Sister Clarice, this is OG Joe. Is it possible to work directly, I guess what I'm asking is that I'd like to partner with you work step by step on something like this. Is that possible?
Now, who are you again? Tell me again.
I'm Joe Tanner. I'm part of the Healing Circle and also the BBOA, as Marvell just spoke of.
Yes. As long as Marvell and Tim says it's okay, I don't do sidebars, but I'm working with this program through this station. If they say it's okay, then yes, it is okay.
Excellent.
I appreciate that endorsement. So, Joe.
You.
We talked about, I'll draft up something, a call to action to that population that we were referring to.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll draw something up a little bit more in depth so that we can have an appeal and a call to action to those folks. And then, you know, whatever agenda you have for tomorrow, we'll you know, introduce it, fine-tune it, and hopefully Clarice, because see, Clarice is a professional, a professional organizer and accountant, right?
I did hear about it when she spoke. Yes,
right. So, you know, if she joins us tomorrow, or if not, then I could brief her what was shared, and then we could fine tune whatever's necessary to get the foundation started. Because we all agree that it's really time. We say that about our people, and so if we say that about our people, then we also have to say that about our projects. It's time to make hard copy and be able to refer to it literally, rather than just verbally.
No disagreement at all. And that's why I requested the Winans, because it is time.
Well, we on our way. Double R, you all the way out there, man. Dadgum it. We just have to give you a report and then keep you inspired, man. Maybe one day you could come on in or something, man, because, you know, you way far away, man, but not in spirit, I would say, and not in participation, just in person. So if we put something to the floor, man, and you find something that you can add to it, don't hesitate. Anybody, once we put it to the floor, don't hesitate to share what you might have to push it forward so that we can get a momentum going. Because once that momentum starts, then the law of attraction it sets in. Like someone said earlier, you know, they might not want to start, but when they see it rolling, they want to jump on, right? And I'll say this about that, is that I usually have a lightweight resentment for latecomers that didn't have a vision, and they want to jump on the bandwagon and jump in the car while it's still rolling slow, and then even want to try to stop the car so they can get in when it's rolling fast, right? But I'm not going to harbor those resentments, because I know it's a hard sell in the beginning, because trust is an issue for us, and rightfully so. So when they see something that's trustworthy rolling, then I see the gravity to it is automatic, right? So I'm not going to harbor that anymore. If you see it rolling and you want to get on, you might have to devote a little bit more energy to merit jumping on. But if you're willing to do that, come on. Let's go.
I say I'm in total agreement with all that has been said, and I see a great future in this. I see a lot of progress to come up out of it, and I just thank God for the vision and for everything that's going forth.
So quickly, Michelle, are you still on? Okay.
Because I'm double live.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm multitasking. I'm here.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, could you give us a brief report on the status?
Well, my young man, he's here. He's in his room, and the other one, my daughter, she's in Sacramento, and so I haven't touched bases with her today, and I talked to you off the air, you know, Marvell, so I don't know if she even, you know, if she tapped in back in with you. So and then I actually spoke with Ms. Siobhan as well yesterday, but once again, it's just, you know, when it comes to my son, I don't know. I don't know what, you know, I can't, we're going to a meeting and I'm taking it day by day with him. He's here, Fred. I'm on the radio, brother. You want to say good morning? Go ahead.
Good morning, Kings. Good morning, Kings. Good morning, players. How y'all doing?
What you call us?
I said Kings.
Oh, man.
Kings.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right on.
You know, we
yeah.
Kings, you know.
So is there anything anybody want to ask my son?
I want him to recite something for me.
Yeah, what's something, brother? Ask me questions.
Well, I wanted you to recite something for me. I heard you have a skill to recite, so I wanted to hear something
that's
from you.
That's the other one. That's the other one. He does too, but you might be talking about the twins.
No,
okay, well, don't show me what you're working with. Show me what you're working with, Father. Oh,
hit us with a little something.
Little something, man. Oh, what, you want to hear a rap? Okay.
Come on with it, man. Stop stalling.
My music kind of was twisted for the radio and stuff, but I'm just giving you something slight, man. I said, I just want to win, but look, I'm light skinned, right? So my music is, you know, it's harmonizing. It's gangster shit though, but with a little harmonizing though, you know. But like I said, I just want to win, baby. I'ma give you all I can, baby. I said, can we be friends? Can I be your man? I said, if you fuck with me, would you throw me bands? I said, when I want my bro, put him on with your friends. We're going to all set it up. It's all in the plan. Say, we're going to all set it up. It's all in the plan. Shit, hey, but when I'm down, when I'm sick, can you be my medicine? But it's a lot of niggas switching. I just hope we stay at 10. We're going to fight. We're going to argue. I just hope we just don't be in. We're going to fight. We're going to argue. I just hope we just don't be in. Hey, and I ain't tripping off them fuck niggas. You got me out here trying to cut bitches. And I don't even cut bitches. You got me feeling like it's fuck bitches. Girl, I hate when you mad at him. How you feeling, girl? What's up with your problem? Hey, and I swear, you so super father, but I'm being true. I be feeling like that super guy brought her to the hood her first time. She was super shy, put her on with some shit. Now she walked through like a bad bitch, and I ain't lying, I ain't kept. Most of these niggas that be talking, but they ain't never been no factors. Hey, and I'm always speak that real shit. And if a nigga talking, I'ma turn on that kill switch. You should bang your line up time to time, and I know you see it blowing you up. You ain't there, I guess you ain't fuck with me. How it just lovers. Now we turn out doing stranger things. I know you like, you know me. Who got you occupied? Bitch, that playing super. Like, I ain't laced you up in this world. Now you hella mean.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Red dropped it with a lot of cussing.
Yeah,
but
he
was
before
he said that. Parental
is
like,
you got
parental
advice.
R-rated, that's
in
the radio version.
See how the art, hey, you see how the art cut through anything that might have blocked it? The art cut through it. The art is the salvation. It cut through. When you were there, in the art, you weren't where you were before the art.
Yeah. I'm over here with
the art,
I just want to go to
the art
time.
Soul, little brother. Yeah. The art flows.
Yeah.
The art overcalls. So we want you to focus on the art and continue to pour
therapy.
Into the art, man. It's
therapy.
That's therapy. You know it. You said it. You
yes.
know it.
Yes, sir.
That's
well, I want
why
y'all
I
to have
you
a good day, too.
Okay, so watch
you
this.
Know, you know,
Red.
I'm sorry.
Red.
Yeah.
This Mr. Dim, man. I'm proud of you, man. I see
it's
you really
better.
Trying to do something different, man. And so reason I
yeah.
put Marvell on hold for a minute because we finna leave, but I want you to go ahead and speak your heart right quick.
You say you want me to speak from heart real quick?
Yes, sir.
Big brother. Now, hey, big brother. You know, I've been always, man. You know, the I'm gonna just say, the youngest, but you feel me, with a lot of stuff on his shoulders. You feel me? Always trying to take care of everybody. You feel me? When I gotta take care of myself sometimes, and you know, I just gotta keep. I just keep pushing, you feel me, smile through this rain, you feel me, you know? And, you know, nobody know what you're going through unless you say something, but, you know, I'm trying to, you feel me, hold my tongue, and, you feel me, keep pushing, and, you know, I'm a man, so, you feel me, I hold my own type shit, don't you feel me?
Okay. It's okay.
But, you know, Big Brother Tim, you know, man, I always been a leader, though. I'm
yes,
just not
sir.
Waking up, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What I want you to continue
to
lead.
Yeah, that's always in the right way.
In the right way. So, Marvell, I know we over time. If you'd like to hold up the show for another 20, 30 minutes because we got Red on here, I'm going to leave this open until 11:30 if anybody would like to stay on and communicate because I see now that Red is on here. This is a whole nother session.
Hey,
a whole nother session. Marvell.
Yeah, this Double R. Leave it open, man. I got something to say to the homie. Yeah.
All right, it's going to be open. The phone lines is open until 11:30.
Okay. Hey, Red, man. This is Double R, man. I'm from L.A., South Central, man.
Yes,
and I see you did warn us on there, but I see your title. You said it's some gangster-ish, right? Okay, now, the work I see was great, but Stanley.
I got some shit that's not
good.
No, yeah.
Say what?
I got some stuff that's not cousin. That's just, you feel me, like, on some, like, roadrunner music, like, you feel me, like, some, like, yeah, like, I don't know, like, you feel me, you got some, this, like, you feel me, some, oh, my, like, creativity, like, you feel me, like, you got to,
that's what we want to hear, that's what we want to hear, yeah, we want to hear something like that, too, we can see you can be versatile, but we trying to stop the gang. Mentality and get into the other stuff like you said. Why don't you do something with that real quick?
What I say? I said live and direct, front changes. This ain't no motion picture. Pull that skin all to the neck. I fucking cold the finger in long night in a motel. Really mad at nigga in sleepy nights, the constant abuse. Almost broke a nigga in my life a movie. Something like your ordinary motion picture. I bet you didn't because it's real life. And you can't close a nigga no take two. Gotta keep one or they gonna take you. No take two. Gotta keep one. Or they gonna take me, but that's life. But I don't even wanna go to the you feel me verses. It gets deep, like you feel me. But that's most.
Yeah, yeah, that's creative right there. Like I'm saying, let's keep our spirit to more positive things. You feel me? And then I think you can hit a multitude of people because we trying to come out of that gang mentality. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't understand. The gang, the hip-hop, was to destroy us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we trying to get the gangs out there. We trying to get your vision on where you're going to be from 10 years from now. Feel me?
Yeah. And look, this is my last one. And I didn't want to say this one because, man, but this one is like, you feel me, one of my favorite songs, though. I said, it's called Nobody. Damn. I got my wind up. Hold on. I said, You ain't got nobody. Hey, you just got yourself. Shit, I can't trust no somebody. I said, I think I need help. Yeah, that just killed my brother. I said, I can barely heal. Hey, when I tell my cousin, I said, that's made me mail. I can't build. Hey, and I'm like, well, believe me when I said it. Just believe me when I said it. Just believe me when I said, I'm like, believe me when I look what I say. And I switch it up, though. I said, you find wine to get better with the time. Make it wetter when we grind. Break your bed and break your spine. Hey, if you was mine, I treat you better than your God. Be my shawty, be my wife. I'm a 10 and he's a 9. Hey, I kick back, smoke dope with the guy. We spoke to the sky and choke till we are. Hey, no, you's a queen, wear a crown, so let me pick it up. You drop it, let me lift it up. Sit back and get our chicken up. Pull up, girl, let this shit up on this drink. Girl, you is what they ain't. Pussy you did what they can't, ay. To keep it real, I know you is what you claim. No, you is not a lame, so come and chill with me, babe. You ain't got nobody. Ay, you just got yourself. Ay, I can't trust no fucking body. I said, I think I need help.
Yeah, but
we
have music to go to that.
Yeah. Hey, you see the how I look? My whole verse was no cussing up.
Right.
If y'all hear it, my whole verse was no cussing. I said, brother, you find wine and get better with the time. Make it wetter when we grind. Make your bed and break your spine. Hey, if you was mine, I treat you better than your God. Be my shorty, be my wife. I'm a 10 and he's a 9. I kick back, smoke dope with the guys. Another cuss word. We float through the sky and choke till we high. Hey, no, you's a queen, wear a crown, so let me pick it up. You drop it, let me lift it up, sit back and get our chicken up. Poor girl, let this sip up on this drink, girl. Serious, yeah, he is. They ain't pussy deal with they came. Until, oh my God. Man. Y'all got me. Man.
Red.
That was no
cap. Red.
He got
Red.
He got
man, Red. Hey,
yeah,
Red, this is my veil. This is Marvell. Yeah. This is Mr. Marvell. Listen to this. Listen, I want you to pay attention to this.
Yes. Yeah.
I want you to, because, see, we know right now, and at least I do, I'm pretty convinced that right now you're being influenced by something inside of you other than what's natural, right? However, look at what happened with what's inside of you that's naturally cut through. The unnatural or the supernatural, and cut through your art, man. Your art is the salvation point that you pour into, because you're reciting and you're memorizing and you're reciting something that if I asked you what you just did 20 minutes ago, you couldn't tell me. But your art surfaced. And it's lodged in your heart.
Yeah.
Your heart is lodged in your heart, man. That's where the salvation is going to begin. Practice your art, man. Practice your art.
Man,
express
it's
your
my craft
art.
Right here, man. It's the craft. You feel me? It's my other gift, my second gift. You feel me? Like, but, you know, like, man. Thing with me and other people, I can go. You feel me? I can get off social media. I can, you feel me, like, take time to myself, you feel me, and, like, quarantine, whatever, you feel me, myself. And when I come back, whenever I post something or drop something, my stuff going to be different, and everybody going to mess with it regardless because of me, you know? And some people don't got that gift, bro.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying is that the best power you have is in your gift, right?
Yeah.
And no other power should supersede that. No power should be able to overtake that. Don't allow any other power to be important to you.
Right.
Whatever
right.
it is. Whatever rid of it. Whatever it is that tries to take over and supersede your natural gift, your anointment, and your power.
You have to rid yourself. You're going to have to do something you don't want to do so that you can do what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
You got to stop doing what you're not doing now. It's not blocking out what's blocking you from being the total anointed young man that you are. It's on you, Red. You're going to have to do something that you don't want to do in order to do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. I hear you, brother. Thank you for the positive words. Criticism. Thank you.
Go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Can I get
what
you to agree to that? Go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Can I get an agreement from you on that?
That's an NA, right?
That's correct.
Yes, sir.
Can I get you to agree to do that?
I was going to do it to a meeting today. It's like something like that. Not NA. So,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm recommending. I'm recommending that you do that, and I'd like to get your agreeance that you will do that and do it in the short term. Don't put it off.
Yeah. I've already been doing my own counseling and stuff. You know, I ain't gonna say too much on my phone, but you know, help myself and you can gotta get through. I gotta, you know, you feel me? Get through, cause you know, man, I didn't put myself in situations. You know, it's try to slander your name. You know, yeah, you know, yeah. I'm in a place where I'm not.
You're sliding into a state of incoherence now. When you're not doing your art, that other thing takes over. So what I'm saying to you is, I'm asking, can I get your agreement that you will go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting today?
I was already going to an NA meeting today. I don't want to say
today.
Too much on the phone, but yeah, I was already going.
Bravo. Bravo.
Yes, sir.
And see if there's something there for you. It's worth shaking down.
Mm. It is.
It's worth it.
Hey, Red.
To leave shaking down.
Hey man, it takes some time when you get your mind right and everything. I want you to probably you write a song about I give hugs, not drugs. You feel me? And I think that would be a powerful song. I see it in you, man.
Yeah.
I see all your all the techniques that you're using, everything. But I think that once you clear your brain and you write on some real with no cloudy vision, I think you can make that top, homie. So prayers to you and your family, man. I know you, and set an example and show your big sister that you can come out of that. I yield back. Black power.
For sure. Amen.
Hey, man, you know, hey, Dig, it's only spiritual that Double I said you give hugs, not drugs. Because guess what? In Narcotics Anonymous, that's what they teach you how to do. They teach you how to get into the hug energy and feel the energy of someone who is practicing recovery. And you will get a feel for that energy by hugging. That's what they do in Narcotics Anonymous. So it's just kind of spiritual that Double R offered that as a project for you.
Can I say something, brother? I heard them songs. I wasn't even, oh, no. Oh, I'm a walk up on a nigga, bang bang, kid his money, and I was talking about the, you feel me? Like I was, you feel me? I was not sweet talking, but like you feel me? It was all about, you feel me? A girl in all the songs, kind of like you feel me? Some people, man, but I do hear you. Last brother, I was just talking. Like, I gotta just, you know, like, focus on my gift and, you know, really put pain in my past and my gift. Yeah, I do hear you. For sure.
Yeah.
And focus on that.
Can I chime in real quick on something?
Yeah.
I've been sitting back listening to you gentlemen and ladies talk. My name is Mr. Johnson. I'm out there 831. You had a lot of valid points that y'all were making, and I truly believe with the collective that you have, there's nothing that's going to come about until everybody has that structure and builds up on it. You know, you can't have nothing that's going to stand if you don't have no foundation. You feel me? So I'm saying that to say, it's time to make a change. It's time for the healing, okay? Where we got a lot of broken vessels, a lot of broken vessels out there. All my cousin, he's one, I'm one. You know, until we can come to the understanding of what's going on within us and heal that broken part that's in our heart, you know what I mean? Only then will we be able to stand tall through it all. And see, you know, the prosperity that's ahead, you know, that we.
I don't even feel like I got a broken heart right now. I feel like my heart in a cast right now. Like, you know, like how you got a cast on your hand, you get a sprained hand. I have a sprained heart right now. You know.
That's where the healing needs to take place. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same.
We all go through that.
Nothing stays. Let me hit you with this. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. No. Yes, everyone must change. Nothing stays the same, oh no.
Yeah.
The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. Just focus on being the best that you can be.
Yeah.
You feel me? Minimize your mistakes and maximize your efforts.
You should.
And surrender. Yeah. Surrender your desires. Surrender your desires to the Almighty. And I guarantee you, every desire that's in your heart that you ask him to give you will be yours. You have not because you ask not. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world.
Right.
Know that.
You gotta pray.
That's
it.
Absolutely. That's your that's right. You got that anointment. Protect it.
Yeah.
Protect your anointment by not letting anything outside of yourself overcall what's inside of you.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for your the courtesy, the spirit of, word of God, and tell me to, keep the word of God in me,
Yes, sir. Hey, so
yes, sir.
I gotta go, but tomorrow's show should be powerful. We can start right where we at right now because Red gonna need all of us. Not just with some word, but some actions. But Red, I need to see action from you, Red. Your mama been trying, and she done tried so much and so hard that now she in the way. So I'm gonna ask Mama Chocolate to step back and let these wolves get at him, and get him out that sheep's clothes and bring him back to the wolf that he is. With that being said, y'all make sure y'all tune in tomorrow, same time. Same station.
Okay.
It is the Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we out this G-thang. You heard?